Well, the G20 this week in Seoul, South Korea, is not probably going to be as friendly as the United States could have wished. World leaders are not happy about the plan from the Federal Reserve to pump $600 billion into the American economy. It's called quantitative easing, but the German minister described it as clueless. South Africa's finance minister says it undermines the spirit of multilateral cooperation. The head of Brazil's central bank says it hurts his country's efforts to control its own currency. Well, not popular, but Chrystia Freeland, global editor-at-large at Reuters, welcome back.
Hello, nice to be with you.
You can kind of explain for us exactly what this does to the world economy, right? I mean, first of all, this is $600 billion is a massive undertaking, and there's going to be both intended and unintended consequences of a quantitative easing, right?
That's absolutely right. It is a lot of money. I think to put it into context, if you think about two government programs that were incredibly controversial during the midterm campaign, think about the TARP, think about the stimulus. Quantitative easing is not a lot less money than that. And to make it sound less mysterious, I mean, quantitative easing effectively is the Federal Reserve, America's central bank, printing money and pumping that into the economy. The reason that the Fed gave for that is that the economic recovery to the Federal Reserve looks weak, and they're really worried about unemployment, which I think are two concerns that a lot of Americans share.
Okay, but you have said that one of the unintended consequences of quantitative easing is that it's not going to help the unemployed. And I want you to explain this, because what you say is that last week's election basically means that the Fed is in charge of, is responsible for pulling us out of this recession. But because we may see gridlock in Washington, it's going to be the big banks and wealthy individuals that benefit from quantitative easing and not the unemployed.
Well, I think, and I think that if we were able to give Ben Bernanke truth serum, force him to really answer our questions, which he can't really do because he is the chairman of the Federal Reserve and he has to be sometimes a little bit careful about what he says. I think his view probably is that the best economic policy right now would be a combination of fiscal policy, which would be more stimulus
from
the
Congress.
Government, and monetary policy, which is what he is doing, quantitative easing. And that is the consensus of a lot of economists, even Republican conservative ones like Ben Bernanke. The problem is, partly because of the midterms, it doesn't look as if we are going to get another stimulus from the government, which leaves all the weight on the Fed. And the only thing the Fed can do is quantitative easing. It can't lower interest rates anymore. The problem with that is, not that that won't work. I think that quantitative easing is probably better than doing nothing at all from the U.S. point of view. But it's quite an indirect way. What quantitative easing does really is make money available to people, individuals, companies, banks that are strong enough to borrow that money. So if you are a corporation, now is a great time to borrow more money to strengthen your cash, your reserves, which a lot of companies have done already.
Right. Well, Chrystia, I love this idea of truth serum for Ben Bernanke. It sounds like you want to take him out to, you know, like a bar in Washington and get him like good and soused to figure out what's really going on in the U.S.
Maybe
economy.
You could do a nighttime version of the takeaway.
I think that would be a great idea. It's got some legs, I think. But in terms of what the G20 is looking at, I mean, it's a quantitative easing from their perspective. And again, Celeste mentioned some pretty strident sort of characterizations of this policy. Is this just playing as a straight devaluation and the U.S. is devaluing the dollar, period, the end, and the Chinese are going to have to, like, play a game of chicken with us and watch their holdings and T-bills decline?
In a word, yes. I think that's how it looks outside. That is really mostly how it looks outside the United States. And there is the big concern that people had, you know, from the moment of the financial crisis is that we would have a repeat of international economic policy that you had during the Great Depression, which was this beggar thy neighbor policy. Everybody pursuing behaviors that maybe looked good within a national context, but that if everybody did it, were collectively really terrible. And I think that's what people are worried about could happen with international currencies. And I think Americans are accustomed to China being painted as the bad guy in the global currency situation. But what we're going to see in Seoul this week is a lot of people pointing fingers at the United States as the unfair player.
Well, I want to play you, President Obama is speaking before the Indian Parliament as we speak, and I wanted to play you a comment that he actually made earlier in India.
The worst thing that could happen to the world economy, not ours, not just ours, but the entire world's economy, is if we end up being stuck with no growth or very limited growth. And I think that's the Fed's concern, and that's my concern as well.
That's Chrystia Freeland. That sounds like he's saying, look, yeah, you may be concerned about the devaluation of the American dollar, but a strong American economy is going to help everybody.
He's right. And if you were particularly, not so much a German government official, because they're opposed to stimulus overall, but certainly if you were an emerging market leader, I think what you might retort and say to President Obama is, that's great, but if you want to stimulate the U.S. economy, why didn't you do that directly? Why are you resorting to this less direct fiscal means, which, by the way, is going to have the additional consequence of probably devaluing the U.S. dollar and making things hard for us?
Aren't we doing exactly what we are angry at China for doing?
Not quite. We're doing some, or you, because I'm not American, I'm Canadian, but, you know, America is doing something a little bit different. But certainly in terms of international currencies, that is going to be one of the consequences. And a lot of foreign governments, foreign companies, think that that's maybe not entirely unintentional. A weaker U.S. dollar is pretty good for U.S. exporters. And one of the things that we're hearing a lot about from the White House, from a lot of government officials and companies, is that the way for America to get out of this crisis is to export its way out of it.
So we are funding economic recovery and sending the bill to the world.
To some extent, what makes it even more complicated is because of China's own currency policy. The one country this doesn't really have a big impact on is China, because the Chinese currency is sort of implicitly pegged to the U.S. dollar. So people have not only the U.S. dollar getting weaker, you're going to see the Chinese currency relative to your own getting weaker, too.
Interesting. Chrystia Freeland, Reuters global editor-at-large, talking about the effect on global currencies, something that I imagine President Obama is going to get an earful about when he goes to Seoul for the G20 summit.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.